May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the mid-1950s, my dad used to have a Ford car from the 1940s. And that Ford was maintained to some level, but what that level was, he never quite said. He used to tell the story of how one time he and a couple of friends, all in their early 20s, were on a drive in the Ford. So they began to head down the slope of an underpass at a set of train tracks. And the traffic was actually quite heavy. And they suddenly saw someone's unattached wheel bounce and roll past them. They began laughing at the poor slobs who had just lost the wheel. As they reached the upslope of the underpass, my dad's car suddenly began to list to the passenger side, and then towards the rear. And progress slowed dramatically. The realization, of course, hit them that it was their wheel that had fallen off. And the car literally ground to a halt. And their finger pointing suddenly hit closer to home. Now, in the gospel reading, we were introduced to John the Baptizer. The people were under a difficult, brutal military and political occupation by the Romans, headed by the emperor. And there's a Roman governor whose name is going to shortly become even more infamous. There are three regional kings, themselves all brutal, and in collaboration with the Romans. There are two high priests in charge of the temple, who are placed there by the Romans. The religious hierarchy's pipeline to God has dried up. There's unrest everywhere. Progress there has also ground to a halt. And the situation is dire. And the wind is blowing. But it's the wind of the Spirit that is blowing on John. John is in the wilderness, on the edge of the promised land. And he's heard the word of God, just as Abraham and Moses and others before him did. He's going around baptizing people in the Jordan River, calling for them to admit the error of their ways, telling them that their sins will be forgiven. And he's doing this because he wants them to prepare the way for the one who is coming. He wants them to remove obstacles that prevent Jesus from being successful within and among them. So John is sort of a bridge between the current faith of the people and the new life offered by the one who's coming. He has a foot in both worlds. His father is a mid-level priest of the temple, and his mother is also of a priestly family, the old world. But he's also in the new world, where he is pointing towards the one who is coming, Jesus. Now notice that all those big names did not receive the word. Not Tiberius, not Pontius Pilate, not Herod, not Annas or Caiaphas, but John received it on the periphery of civilization, not in the mainstream of daily political and social life, someone who is on the edges. Someone who's on the edges, just as we as Christians seem to be sometimes. Every time I hear this story, initially I'm struck by the beauty and majesty of that new world. Every valley will be raised, and hills will be brought low, and highways straightened. Sort of a scriptural engineering project. But, in actuality, of course, this text is about the people in the depths of society being raised up. And those who rule with majesty being cut down a bit, because of the impending presence of Jesus. After all, who isn't in favor of those 1%ers being knocked down a bit, eh? The political leaders, their friends could be cut down a peg too, no? And those religious leaders, well, we heard the story of what happens to them in the reading from Malachi. Other folks need to get into shape to welcome Jesus, to enable his ministry, right? Other folks do. But if we look around, we are the other folks. The beginning of 2020, a wheel fell off of our car with the arrival of the coronavirus. And we ground to a halt, exposing the weaknesses in our maintenance of our society when it came to social support, to care for the elderly, and care for employees, and care for the homeless. Well, today, John is pointing us towards Jesus again. How can we prepare ourselves to welcome Jesus? What can we straighten out personally? Well, we can shed whatever holds us back and open ourselves to new possibilities. We can attempt to straighten out what is crooked and make the rough smooth within ourselves. We can cut out the criticism of others. We can respect our employees. We can engage with the poor and the elderly and the homeless. We can show love everywhere we go. We can move towards Jesus, who will forgive all the bad stuff that we've done. And like John, we too are called to point the way towards Jesus. We're called to point the way out of old patterns towards new ways. We're called to point from greed toward generosity, from fear to hope, from selfishness to selflessness, from hate to love. But before we can tell others why they should welcome the ways of Jesus, we also need to understand why we're interested in welcoming Jesus. Like, do I actually want Jesus to come? What do I believe? Why do I believe what I believe? I was recently asked a really, really simple question by someone. What is your relationship with Jesus? So what better time to ask that of ourselves than during Advent? Here we are, less than 2 weeks away from Christmas, the arrival of Jesus. And we're singing hymns of anticipation and longing. One phrase we just sang a couple of minutes ago was, "Prepare we in our hearts a home where such a mighty guest may come." But are we doing that out of habit? Because we've always done it? Out of nostalgia? Why do we want Jesus to be present among us? Why do we want God to be made real for us? What is your relationship with Jesus? In part, I answered that question by saying that he is my friend. Friend who I can go to in times of joy and love, and in times of anger, in times of trouble, in times of need, in times of sadness. And that sometimes he even feels like an adversary when he tells me to do something that I don't want to do. But he's always there. And more. But all of our answers to that question will be different. And that's actually okay. We can use this season of Advent as a time for new learning about Jesus and thus God's nature, and learn a bit about ourselves. We can reflect on what we need to do if we want to allow Jesus to be within us and to guide us. And we can see more clearly what John the Baptist is pointing towards. Once we know where we're going, we can follow John's example by pointing others towards Jesus too. But we aren't alone in doing that. As part of the body of Christ, we're all joined together as a community with others. We're also pointed and pointing in John's direction. In a few moments, we'll be having a community table right here. We can look around and see the others who are on the journey towards Jesus as we head up for the meal. We might all be in different places on that journey, but that's okay too. And we can see the body of Christ already present and in action as we're joined together with each other and with God. Receiving the bread and the wine in that meal, the body and blood of the resurrected Jesus. And we can be empowered as a community to see what John the Baptist is pointing towards. That new creation yet to come. So during this Advent season, as people on the periphery, in these pandemic-ridden, stormy times, what is your relationship with Jesus? How is the wind of God blowing on us? What are we pointing towards?